I think a lot of people are doing shit and they don't even realize why. Getting better at marketing is called practice, but also understanding that you might not naturally be good at it. I could practice all I want in singing. I have a funny feeling if I started singing, half this room would be leaving within the next 5 minutes. You know, like you can't, like, you have to be self-aware, you have to put in the work. Like, there's a lot of reasons why someone would get better at marketing, but my question is why, if you're not good at it? Like, why are you not good at it? Have you not put in the work? Most likely, but why didn't you put in the work? Normally, it's because you don't like it. And so, like, now why are you doing it? Oh, you want the money? Because what, you think buying shit's gonna fix the gap in your heart?
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Thank you. What's good? Thank you. Brizzy.
Gary, thanks for coming.
Happy to be here.
Gary, we're in the city of Brisbane where, straight after the pandemic, they were hit by floods and a lot of businesses went underground and the floods just literally killed them. How do you have the right mindset when uncontrollables kind of take over and out of your control?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think, you know, this is why I'm so passionate about gratitude, right? Ooh, you know, I think that most humans complain about dumb shit and then something real happens and you realize how dumb it was. And so, you know, when life throws you very challenging moments, the places I go are, well, one, you had no choice, right? It's not like you could predict that a flood was gonna come and do these horrible things. You have to adapt to reality. Everybody here in their life will be met with real challenges. You know, God willing, most people live a long life, which also then comes along with losing people that you love so much, you know. I think many people have all agreed around the world that the scariest thing in life is losing a child. Many people will go through that. There are always challenges, but I think when I hear that question, my brain goes into two places. Deep, deep gratitude for waking up every day and that not happening. And I think people struggle with enjoyment in the simplicity of that, which is why I push it so hard. I can tell you it is foundational to my happiness. You know, when I wake up this morning, I'm not thinking about how cool it is to have an audience like this come out for me on a Saturday. Do you know how humbling this is? Do you know how grateful I mean, it's, I love you back. But it's, you know, this is a Saturday. Like, fuck. You know, like, thank you. But I don't think about that. I don't think about that video I watch almost predominantly embarrassed. You know, really, I mean it. That's not what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about, like, when I woke up, like, ooh, good. Another day when nothing crazy happened. And I think that way every day. And then when things do happen that are challenging, ironically, the first place I go is gratitude for the fact that it doesn't normally happen or it hadn't happened before. And then I go into getting my stomach punched and dealing with the reality of it and trying to lead and clean up and fix and try to make things better for tomorrow because you have no choice. I don't see a whole lot of value in dwelling, or, you know, I think that there should be room for space for you to, you know, go through the pain. You know, I think a lot of people put up a front, especially with a death or something extreme, like you should have some breathing room to mourn and, you know, deal with that. But to dwell and complain is the least thoughtful and strategic energy in the world. And right now we have a lot of dwelling and complaining, normally about shit you can't control, that actually isn't fucking you up. It's the dwelling and complaining that's fucking you up.
How much How much credit do you give your parents for the mindset that you have to get to these kind of things?
A ton. I mean, they had sex at the right second. So that, you know, that's a big deal. So I gotta give them a lot of props for that. My mom is an all-time mom. She built a mindset in me that I feel like, I would actually argue that what I'm doing here right now is trying to scale what my mom did for me for society, because it's so clear to me that she deserves an extraordinary amount of the credit. Not only do I share a lot of her DNA, she also cultivated me. She was my core parent. And then when I got a little bit older, I started working my dad's store, and he put in some incredibly strong principles into me because he's a very honorable man. And you know, this is why I'm not embarrassed about the video or about what's going on with me, because I don't really think me is me. I think me is my parents and my circumstance and the reality of where I came from and how it, like, I'm the byproduct. I'm really not attached to the me of it all. I do like the things I built, because I feel like I'm cultivating those things, my mentorship, the companies I build. But it's really easy for me to give all, I mean, at some level, brother, all of it. Like, I really struggle to think about, like, my, like, I'm proud of my hard work and like the things I've done, but I also know how much of that was instilled in me. So I'm a huge byproduct of them.
You mentioned many different chapters in your life, and one of the first ones you talked about was when you were a kid and you were having lemonade stands and your early entrepreneurial kind of stuff you were doing.
Yes.
Speak about, a bit about that and what you've learned and what, how they kind of shaped you going
forward. Well, I was just hanging with some individuals in the green room. I was talking about, like, there's a lot of people who are like, Gary, you know, I'm about to start this business and I'm scared to fail. And my brain always goes into, like, you're probably gonna fail. Especially if you've never done business before. Like, watching entrepreneurship and business get cool in the last 10, 15 years has been frightening. Like, most of the beautiful faces I'm looking at here right now have not put in the practice nor have the talent to actually do it. But that's not bad. That's actually epic if you actually go into it knowing you're gonna fail. And so, you know, what, I mean, because all I ever did as a kid was business, and I had natural talent in it, of course this happened. You know, many people stay students and athletes for the predominant part of their life as a child. And then they go to more school, and then they go to real life. And they're confused to why it's hard. It's because you haven't lived real life yet. You've been playing in a fake environment. And so I learned all the mistakes at 6 and 8 and 10 and 13 and 12 and 14 and 19 and 23, and I still make a shitload. But if you've not trained at all for a marathon, how the fuck are you gonna run? And so for a lot of people here who are deciding to run for the first time in an environment like that, you should, whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. But to go in with audacity that you think it's gonna work when you never trained, is fucking insane. And so, like, people always roll up at me like, Gary V, like at the airport, Gary V, it's so fucking, bro, I'm gonna build a $1 billion company. I'm like, all right. Like, you know, if I ask them one question, they're like, no, not yet. But I'm like, and I'm like, then you're probably not. And that's okay. Like, I think people have what to put on a pedestal all fucked up. You know, a $1 billion company, like, that's for 0.00000000001% of people. Like, how about enjoying the process of building a company and hoping it doesn't go out of business? Because if you pull that off, you're fucking remarkable. Because 99% of people go out of business.
Even in those early stages, you mentioned a little about going through all the rejection as a kid, really kind of helped you learn that. What about someone that's kind of fearful of rejection? What do you advise for, like, that kind of audience being
like? Practice. Like, this is the biggest problem with modern parenting. We think it's good to keep kids away from pain.
Expose them to
it. Yeah, of course. Like, I only like kids that cry after they lose. Like this concept, like don't cry, it's just a game. Fuck you, mom. Life's a game. Like eighth place trophies, like these leagues that have popped up that don't count winners, what the fuck are we doing? Like, we need, you know, we said it yesterday and I'll say it again here, like, I think every kid should get into at least one fight. Like, I don't think you're a real man until you get punched in the fucking face. You know, and, you know, like, and then we're just over-coddling an entire generation. I'm so tired of Gen Xers and boomers shitting on Gen Z. You are the one who parented them, asshole. Like, parents come up to me all the time, like, Gary, my fucking kid, like, you gotta talk to him. Like, he's just all, I'm like, you stop paying his rent. You want your 20 plus year old to be better? Don't give them money. Like, we're just, we got it all backwards. Like, we're micromanaging them. You don't need to know where they are at every second. When I was 8 in New Jersey in 1983, my mom had no fucking clue where I was. I was on the fucking train tracks, like, oh, here comes the train, oh, push your friend. Like, we were doing all sorts of, I'd pick up a stick and like hit my friend. And that's why we have resilience. Do you know what happens to zoo animals when we all tell them to free, like, you know how like people get mad sometimes, like, fucking, this is fucked up. Free the zoo animals, they shouldn't be in cages. Do you know what happens? They put them in the wild and they die within a minute. They're not ready for the jungle. Parents, I'm telling you, get out of your kids' business. Let them paint a little bit. Yeah. Woo. Woo. I mean, it's fucking crazy out here, Ethan. Like, kids, like, parents take their kids to the fucking playground, a kid pushes them, and the parent jumps in and wants a fight. Kid gets a D in school, and the parent goes to school and now fights about grades. Get out of your fucking kids' shit. Let them get beat up, promise. Or teach them how to fight.
is that parenting, what you think has caused a lot of people to kind of doubt themselves and have confidence issues that we can't see even more so now these days?
Yeah.
And how do you grow confidence to that kind of person? What was them for today?
By living actual life and realizing there's nothing wrong with it. Like, losing is great. Losing is great. Like, all life is losing. Like, what are you scared of? Like, what's gonna happen? Like, you know how many people here are like, Gary, I wanna make, like, we're about to do Q&A. Gary, I wanna post, but I'm like, what's gonna happen? Your sister's gonna text you and say you look like an idiot? Like, you're gonna only get 3 views? And you're gonna be upset? Like, what's so scary? Everyone keeps living their entire adult life like they're still in high school. Yes. Like, yes, I think that parents are over-coddling, but then you become, here's my point, and then you're 25. Like, this is where I'm very hot on the parenting thing, but then there's another part of the, there's the other side of the pillow. Yes, I understand your parents did this, and yes, I understand they did that, but now you're 25. Yeah. Exactly, you're 25 now. You're gonna keep crying about mommy and daddy? Or are you going to stand on your own feet, go to therapy, start working out, start meditating, start surrounding yourself with positive people? Like, when are you gonna stop blaming them? There's grown-ass 50-year-olds in here blaming their whole life on their parents. Okay, and what? You're just gonna blame them your whole life and then die? How about accountability? So yes, do I think it happens there? Yes, nature and nurture was figured out long before I was on Earth. My question is, what are you gonna do about it? I talk about loving my parents and they're awesome and a lot of people here follow me and know that. I could sit here the rest of my life telling you what they did wrong. I just don't have the energy to think about it. I focus on what they did right. I focus on what they did right. People come up to me like, how many people here have followed me for more than 3 years? Raise your hands. Thank you. So you have an incredible, my parents and I sit around and have dinner and just laugh about this. Yeah, they're like, and we're very close. They're like, man, you've really made us out to be fucking insanely awesome. Like, you know, like, I just don't know how to focus on what they've done wrong. I can, if I like try to focus, I can tell you. And of course I've thought about it. I just don't know what to do with that energy. What are you gonna, what? And by the way, like I said at VCon, their parents fucked them up. I get so mad when my friends and acquaintances and coworkers are like, my mom's fucked up, but my granny's awesome. And then I met the granny and I'm like, the granny fucked up the mom. Your granny is a piece of shit. You just didn't see her that often. You know, so I just don't understand the blame game, the dwell game. I understand it because 99% of Earth walks around and lives in it. I just would prefer them to get out of it because, I don't know, like living a happy life is a much better idea than not. I mean, fuck, man. I lost a lot. Like, I mean, look. I've. When I think about my life, until I was like 14, if I lost in any game, I would cry for an hour. Anything. Absolutely anything. And lots of things happen. Like, I peed my bed until I was like 12. And like was petrified of that, like was scared to go to like sleepovers because I'd be like, man, if I piss my bed in this situation, this could be it. I lost, much like Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, I had a trilogy fight with Oded Weinstock and I lost the middle one in junior high because he pushed me into a locker and the code hit my ribs and fucked me up and then he jumped on top of me and then the teachers came and then I thought it was kind of like a small scrimmage, but I got to fucking lunch and everyone's like, Oded beat up Gary, and I was like, fuck. And that was like horrible. Like, I can't, we had a fight after school, and I revenged my loss. And so, I mean, I made $1,000 in baseball cards at one show, and then, like, the money burned a hole in my pocket, you know. You don't have a car when you're 14, as we all know, and my mom went to Costco, and they had these cards there, and they were shitty cards, and I knew it. But I didn't have the discipline yet to be patient. And I spent all $1,000 on buying all the boxes, because I couldn't wait to get home and open all the packs, and I got nothing. I got $18, $50, $100 worth of cards out of all those boxes, and I kind of had to start all over to build up my game, and that was devastating. That's a lesson. That is a lesson of like, don't let the money burn a hole in your pocket. Don't buy dumb shit, or it might not work out. I mean, I could sit here for, I mean, tons of losses. I would argue, in the way that people think about life, I would say the first 12 years of my career were a loss. I worked 15 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week, built a business for someone else, and had to start VaynerMedia in a conference room at 34 years old of another company because I didn't have enough money to pay for rent. Now, that person was my dad, so it makes it better, but I didn't make any money for what I created. I'm always losing. I shouldn't even be here. No, I'm being dead serious, actually. This trip is not really mathematically right for me. But that's not what I value. I'm not trying to extract the most amount of cash value. I miss being in Australia, so I wanted to come. You understand? I love supporting young entrepreneurs. You're trying to do something. I'm aware that me being here is a platform for you to do the next thing. It's not, I don't think the way most people think. So when people say, like, what are your losses? You know this, like, I think nothing and I think everything. I don't think anything's been a loss because nothing atrocious has happened. And then I could sit here and tell you another 57 stories of shit that went wrong in the way that people think. Like, do you know how many people are sitting right now here and around the world saying, if I just made that decision 3 years ago different, everything would be better. Do you know how crazy that is? If I fucking, there's people sitting here right now being like, I shouldn't have married this fucking person. Or I shouldn't have taken this job. Or I should have invested in that. Or I should have bought that property. Or I should have joined my parents' business. I shouldn't have joined. All people are doing are looking backwards. Looking backwards fucks up your neck, my friends. I also don't know if you know this, Brizzy, but I have some shocking news. There's no such thing as a time machine. Spending time of what the mistake you made 7 years ago is a problem. You can't walk into a machine and go back. It's fucking over. It's over. And the only people that are listening to you complain about it are the other people that are losing.
Yep.
On that note, especially the time with patience. So one of your main messages is patience, one of the main reasons of patience that you talk about. What's the difference between patience and getting it wrong with complacency?
There are two different words, Ethan. And I like what you're doing. You're taking, you know, the prior two interviews and you're adding it to here. So I like what you're doing right now, because I like that you picked up on me talking about that the last two times. They're two different words. Like, but people interpret how they want to. In life, one of the most fascinating things is you find what you're looking for. You will find what you're looking for, my friends. This is why I laugh when everybody blames the algorithms. The algorithms are fucking us up. Your pessimism is fucking you up. When I open my phone, the first video is a boy saving a cat in a tree. The next one is a mom loving a son. The next one is sunshine is good. The next one is like, life is awesome. I'm not seeing what you're seeing because I'm not fucking spending my time on what you're spending your time on. You're in control of your algorithm. Oh, and if you don't like it, I don't know if you heard, you can delete it off your phone. Like, people like, you know, in America, very politically going on, you got your own shit going on here. Like, in America, like, every 4 years, if this fucking guy wins the election, I'm moving to Canada. And in America, we've had both Republicans and Democrats, and, you know, I'm older now. I've been through a bunch of elections. News alert, nobody's living in Canada. And like, and again, if you don't like it, I don't know if you know this, if you don't like what's going on in Australia, move, motherfucker. We just don't have accountability. Like, fucking take control. Everybody has just given up control. The government's fucking me up, my mom's fucking me up, my boss fucking me up, quit. Your boss is fucking you up? Quit. Well, you don't get it, Gary. I do get it. Quit. You have less money, I understand. Sell your house and go rent. You put the pedestal of owning a house on a pedestal over your own happiness. I do understand. You don't fucking understand.
A lot of the message when I went like 6-7 years ago, what I was drawing was a lot about tactic strategy.
Yes. Yes.
Now you've kind of built this new book, 12 and a half, Emotional Ingredients.
Yes.
Tell us why and how you kind of found the emotional ingredients.
It ebbs and flows. I bet, you know, right now I'm on mindset. But like, I'm sure of it that in 3 or 4 years, whether it's AI or VR, there'll be something so big that I'll get hot on spending 2 years talking about the tactics to take advantage of the thing. And for the people, how many people have been following me for 7 years or more? Just raise your hand. Thank you. And those people know that. There's times where I'm hot on this. I spent the whole year telling all of you to get on TikTok 4 years ago. Most of you did not listen. Then I'm here. Then I'm here. My job is to react to what I'm feeling and reading from all of you, and then try to decide what at the moment I can bring the most value from, and that's how I live my life. And so how did I get here? I started to realize, wait a minute, I can tell you everything about TikTok, but if you're insecure to jump into a platform that you think is too young for you, well, then you're not gonna do it. So I better start telling you why you're doing that. And so I'm just ebbing and flowing. Parenting, yeah. Huh? You know, right? Like, when you're, how many people here are parents? Right? All of us, we ebb and flow, right? Like, my mom continues to tell me, she's like, I'm still gonna parent you even though you're grown. I'm like, I get it. Like, it's a forever game. And probably because I had such a great parent, I have this incredible feeling to want to parent the world. And so I'm talking about this right now because I'm watching all of you give up control. You're blaming everybody. You've gotten really good at blaming technology and government. And I don't think you should. Because if you do, and you think you're not in control and can't do anything about it, you get sad. And sad is bad. Sad is bad. Because you, I don't know if you know this, but you were not born for a long time. Like the world's been going on for a long time before you showed the fuck up. And then you're gonna live, then you're gonna die, I don't know if you know this, and then the world's gonna go on for a long time. You like that one? It's true. My point is like, okay, so A, it's so hard, you know, this is why that video 400 trillion to one went so viral for me. It's fucking crazy. The odds, at least what the fucking scientists say, I have no fucking idea, of being a human being is 400 trillion to one. So what I know is, as I look around here, like we won. Yeah. Woo. Right, like back to my story about the credit, like maybe my mom would have had a headache that night. I wouldn't exist. So my point is, you've won the whole fucking thing. You're gonna come on this earth and just dwell your way into death? Fuck that shit.
Fuck you!
One of the dreams you mentioned in the last interview was Kind Candle.
Yeah.
Tell us about Kind Candle and how you spread that.
Well, so I'm sitting up here with tons of fucking, you know, bravado and feeling great about my vision of like how life should be, and I had a big fucking hole in my chest, a real vulnerability, and it was called on stage, what I've been doing for the last 20 minutes, candor is my strength. Because I'm looking at you as a whole. I'm not talking to an individual person. But in my life, the more I loved you, the more I knew you, the more I struggled with giving candor. I didn't want to hurt feelings. I didn't like the confrontation. I struggled with it enormously because I was able to navigate around it. I was always able to find my own happiness and all the things I'm talking about. But what I didn't realize was it was building resentment, and resentment is dangerous. And so, you know, between life events and work events, I got to a place in my early to mid 40s where I realized that candor was my kryptonite. In all this happiness, I'm a human too. And there was little things, those were easy, but candor was a big thing. You know, I looked at a Facebook group of former VaynerMedia employees and everyone was just shitting on me. These were the people that were most upset with me. These were the people that I wasn't able to give feedback to, that they were bad, and then they were just stunned when they got fired. This was a hole. This was a vulnerability, and I had a decision to make. Was I gonna listen to the shit I talk about here on stage and take accountability and fix it? Or was I gonna use all my success and happiness and just look the other way? And I chose the latter because that's the better game. And it hurt. It hurt to take on that accountability. It hurt when I feel like I'm building the best culture and I have all the best intent and I got to, that there are people that I've done wrong by. But it was because of candor. I thought I was doing right by them by not hurting their feelings, but I was hurting the ultimate feelings. And so candor's been a journey for me. When I finally got to this, I did to myself what I do to the world. I marketed to myself. I created this concept of kind candor, and that felt comfortable. That I was gonna give the candor, but I was gonna make it really nice and really thoughtful, and it's changed the course of my life. And I think there's a lot of people here who struggle with candor, and I highly recommend you realize how dangerous that is. And you gotta find a way, whether it's therapy, couples therapy, just practicing like I did. The way I, just for everybody, like, the way I fixed it was, now it was in my face. Before it was subconscious, I was blind to it. When it became obvious to me through that journey of that period in my life, I just started practicing. I just started calling meetings. I mean, I would literally email someone like, hey, can I speak with you for 15 minutes? I went in 1 year from somebody coming to me and being like, hey, can you give me some feedback? Is everything going well? And I would be like, this person stinks at their job. I'd be like, you're fucking epic, Brekka. Like, you're great. I couldn't do it, to reaching out to people and setting up 15 minutes and being like, hey, it's not going well. That's a big journey. And I practiced. And now I still feel like nauseous when I know I'm gonna have to fire someone the night before, things of that nature, but not the same way, because I know I've done a lot of things along the way to at least not making shocking or inappropriate. And I'm really, you know, one of the reasons I stand up here and push the things that come out of my mouth is I know how hard that was for me. I know how hard physical health was for me. Going to the gym and eating right does not come natural to me for shit. You saw the videos 10 years ago. You know, like, but I've gone through a journey. I'm doing things that don't come natural to me that I'm putting work into and I'm fixing them. I don't think I'm special. I think everybody in here can do the same. But first you have to see it, then you have to own it, and then you have to practice.
The other city is that when you receive criticism, it doesn't really affect you at the moment. What about someone that's in the audience that kind of struggles with something else that's thinking about themselves? How can they work on that?
Empathy, sympathy, compassion. The reason I don't really struggle with people shitting on me is I feel bad for them. You know, the concept of I'm gonna go around the, imagine waking up in the morning, opening your phone, looking through stuff, triggered by something, and saying something that you want to say to hurt someone, that's not happiness. That's the complete reverse. And so when I read like, Gary, you're full of shit, none of this is true, I'm not feeling bad for me, I'm feeling bad for them. And so I think we don't have enough compassion and empathy. You know? Like, I really don't think people have enough sympathy. Like, I think everything's about me, which is why when you're like, you're ugly, you're fat, you're stupid, you'll never achieve it, you're thinking about me instead of saying them. Everything I do is about them. So when I see that, I'm not thinking about me, I'm thinking about them. And I'm like, why would someone do that? Wow, they're in such a bad place that the only way they can deal with it is trying to have someone else feel like them. They're in a full misery loves company place. Man, I feel bad for them. Compassion.
One of the things you mentioned about how you got really good at marketing was you were marketing as if your life had really been did. For someone that wants to get better at marketing or get better at growing their business, but they don't have that urgency, how can they kind of instill that in other ways?
You know, I don't think it's urgency per se. I mean, it's one of the variables. I just think it's a lot of the stuff we're talking about here, which is self-awareness is fascinating. Like, you know, I think a lot of this comes down to posturing. You know, like, I want to go a step further than that even. Like, I think a lot of people are doing shit and they don't even realize why. Right? Like getting better at marketing is called practice. But also understanding that you might not naturally be good at it. I could practice all I want in singing. I have a funny feeling if I started singing, half this room would be leaving within the next 5 minutes. You know, like you can't, like, you have to be self-aware. You have to put in the work. Like, there's a lot of reasons why someone would get better at marketing, but my question is why, if you're not good at it? Like, why are you not good at it? Have you not put in the work? Most likely, but why didn't you put in the work? Normally, it's because you don't like it. And so, like, now why are you doing it? Oh, you want the money? Because what, you think buying shit's gonna fix the gap in your heart? That's the shit that's interesting to me. You know what I mean? Like, people are completely, people that don't have money are completely convinced that money's gonna solve it. And they're wrong. They're wrong because what they should be doing is find 10 people that they know somehow, some way that have lots of money, and they should hang out with them as much as humanly possible for a year. And what they'll learn is, it definitely doesn't make you happy. And so, I just think that society has gotten too commercial. Like, what we put on a pedestal are the wrong things. People that have money, people that have followers, people that have fame, success. It's fine. It's fine. It's good. It can be good. But, man, we just really have to get back to basics around here. Like, the reason most of the people in this room are not good at marketing is either it doesn't come natural to them, or they're doing it for a reason that isn't the reason, you know? And so, you know, I don't think urgency is gonna make them better at it. I think practice makes you better at everything. But if you don't like something, you're not gonna practice. There's some people here who've practiced tennis their whole life because they liked it. You know, not because they thought they were gonna be Novak Djokovic. and I think in work, we don't see it that way. The money conversation's convoluted. And I think that more people would make more money by doing shit they like that doesn't seem obvious that money's gonna come from it than doing things that they think the money's in. Because the money's in real estate, and you go get a real estate license and you become a real estate person. If you're not good at selling and you're not passionate about real estate, you're gonna fail. And so chasing where you think the money is has led to a lot of people not making money.
With everything you've done on B-Friends, Bang Media, and a lot more, are you someone that values balance, or are you like someone, or are you kind of like Bobby who says, well, balance is bullshit, I just wanna achieve what I wanna achieve? Where do you stand on the spectrum of balance?
The place I stand on balance is I'm asking everyone here who gets to decide what balance is. People are like, Gary, you know, but you don't have any work-life balance. I'm like, cool, John. Tell me what work-life balance is. Like, am I supposed to work 9 to 5, 5 days a week? Is that work-life balance? Like, who made up that shit? Like, why not work 9 to 3, 3 days a week? France thinks so. You know, like, what's balance? And for me, balance has ebbed and flowed in different ways. There was parts of my life where I wanted to work every minute. There was other parts where I didn't because family dynamics kicked in. By the way, I never work when New York Jets play. I don't give a shit if it's the most important day of my business. The three biggest speaking events I've ever been offered, I declined because the Jets were playing. That's my balance. I chose that I needed those 4 hours of escapism of a passion over the money. Bad financial decision, good emotional decision. Balance, I just think that's, do you know why the balance conversation even exists, Ethan? The balance, the word balance and work-life balance are very similar to another word that I find very interesting, lucky. Lucky and balance are words that people that aren't doing shit use to weaponize to make themselves feel better that aren't doing shit. Woo!
Woo! Let's change something that's happening. So what are you seeing working now for social media, organic paid, what platforms are working the best right now?
I think anybody here, how many people here are doing social media content for themselves or business or something of that nature? Raise your hands. Raise them high, I wanna get a sense. If you are not doing Facebook Reels, you're missing a huge opportunity. At this exact second, that's a humongous platform. I would argue most people are not. Facebook's a little forgotten for a lot of people. So Facebook Reels is huge organic, similar to TikTok 4 years ago. You could have nothing, very little, and start posting what you're posting on Instagram and TikTok on Facebook Reels, and you will be fascinated by how much organic reach is there. I think LinkedIn is wildly underused by everyone here. I think if you're selling, you know, people think LinkedIn is B2B business. If you're selling Frisbees, you should be posting on LinkedIn. So I think LinkedIn is very good organic reach. And then I think those two are the underpriced attention. Then the next question becomes where the attention, the reach is fair, then it becomes a game of best, right? So one of my favorite other excuses, Ethan, is like people DMing me like, Gary, I need your help. I'm shadow banned. Then I click their, you know, this is the weird shit I do, brother. Then I click their account and look at their content. I'm like, ah, got it. Go back to the DM. Hey, brother, you're not shadow banned. You just suck. Everybody here wants to blame the algorithm. Oh, I'm not getting as much reach on my Facebook, on my Instagram. They just want ads. They want the money. No. The reach was free. I love everyone's like, these platforms, it's free. Like, you post and people see it and they don't charge you. Yeah. I'm just gonna say this nice and slow. Instagram's free.
Yeah.
In marketing. Do you know how insane that is? Go try to call the newspaper in this fucking town and ask them to put an ad in the paper for free. Go run a commercial on 7 for free. Go get a billboard on these nice little streets out there for free. It's fucking free. Shut the fuck up. So back to the point, if it's free and everyone's there, then it becomes competitive. Everyone's like, oh, there's too many fucking people now that are influencers. I'm like, Yeah, you're complaining because you're one. You're the problem. Quit. It's called free. It's called merit. It's called survival of the fittest. And instead of crying about the algorithm or all these other people, how about getting better at it? And better at it means knowing how to title your videos, what the thumbnail needs to look like, what the first 3 seconds should look like, the copy that you support it with, what time you post it, how you engage in the comments, and what are the platform differences of a carousel versus a Reels versus a straight post, and having a hook, and like, how about realizing this is a skill instead of dumb fucking luck, and what about putting in the hours of reading and testing and working to be good at it? Or you can blame the algorithm.